just have a full meltdown here in the waiting room as he goes live? Start freaking out like you've never done this before.
I'm so nervous.
I'm sweating.
I don't know how to handle it. I'm going to be in front of the camera.
Oh my God.
I haven't had the
bottom right. That's crazy.
I haven't had those nerves for a live stream in a very long time. I used to get those nerves.
Yeah, never.
In like the brain case.
Ever. Even my first.
We've done it too many times. Yeah, how many times? Hundreds at this point?
Maybe thousands.
I wonder how many. I wonder. Yeah.
All right, we are live now. Hello, everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything. And welcome back to another episode of Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis, the podcast where I am watching through Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 with the boys the first time that they are watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5. Pete, Dredge, Cal, and Nick T. Sadly, Nick T not able to make it. He was a late cancellation. By the way, one of his best friends who we kind of know, you guys in chat won't know him, moving to California this week. I had no idea that was, did you guys know that was happening?
No clue.
That's crazy. That's a huge move. So one of Nick T's close friends moving to California, best of luck to them.
It's really close.
I never had the privilege of meeting them, but Nixie's been good friends.
I never did either, even though I asked quite a few times. Yeah, that's because I listen to the man's music.
So. I do too. Yeah. Well, best of luck to them. But yeah, Nick T, I think, forgot that there was something going on tonight. So he let us know a couple hours ago. And then Calibro, he's here right now in spirit. He was on the call earlier.
Literally.
In this call. And then he literally got called into work. He had to finish a spreadsheet. No, Calibur right now is working. He believes that he can finish up in the next hour if he focuses in, and he will be able to join. So that's why we have his picture. Hopefully, Cal Breezy will be able to join us as we discuss episodes 3 and 4. Of course, the Shingo Chad Sawatari episode where we get Yuya dueling Shingo. It's also the first time where we are going to cover multiple episodes in one stream, so I'm very excited for that. Before we begin, Pete, how are you doing today on this fine and freezing Wednesday night?
I was gonna say that I'm actually really cold in my room right now, but other than that, doing pretty well, man. How are you?
Yeah, I feel you. I had the space heater on. It's just freezing. When it's this cold outside, I feel like the HVAC can only do so much. Dredge, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, man. I actually have a real quick thing I want to bring up to you. My coworker got her her gas bill recently, and I want to make you feel a little bit better. Her gas bill, she lives in a townhome, a three-story town, kind of like mine, probably the same size, so we'll say 1,600 square feet. I want you to guess how much their gas bill was.
So real quick. I will say this. Mother recently sent me her gas bill, and they live in a ranch. I think it's a two-bedroom, one and a half bath, or maybe two bed, two bath ranch.
Yep.
And their gas bill was $250. So that made me feel better about what our gas bill was. I'm going to guess that it was $225, Drudge.
$697.
Oh my. What were they keeping it at? $697.
Want to know what's crazier? They were keeping it at 65, so I swear they have a gas.
Oh, leak, that's a leak.
The meter labeled wrong or something.
I would get a meter test.
She called about that, but she told me that. And the previous month it was 300, so I said, all right, that's a lot, but maybe you're under heat a lot. And then they told me that. I literally looked at her. I go, I don't pay that much for gas in a fucking year, so you better get that shit checked because that's a problem.
Yeah.
And she looked, and the therms she used 338 therms. And I looked at mine. I used 33 therms in 33 days. So I'm like, some ain't mathing. I don't know what to tell you.
You got something going on there.
Something sounds sketchy. Yeah. Well, we're getting our next gas bill tomorrow. So, we'll see if it.
Oh, boy. Good luck, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping it went down, but we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, gas. I mean, these are the things, man. When you leave and have to pay for all this stuff, it sucks. Yeah, it sucks. It's definitely one of the crappier things about, renting, owning, whatever. But that is crazy. $697,
right?
Definitely.
$697.
Yeah, definitely not right.
I audibly gasped. I'm like,
no, I did too, dude. I did too.
I'd be on the phone immediately. I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The best was she got it Monday during the snow day and said, yeah, I figured this was a boy problem. She's looking at me. I'm like, I'm not calling your gas company for you. That's a problem, bro. I'm not doing that shit.
Oh, my God. Well, listen.
I ain't doing that.
Before we get into the episode, we are going to give a final update on the bet that me and Dredger made for episode one of The Charmers, episode one of The Charmers Chronicles, where Dredger and I made a bet in the first 40 days, would it reach 550,000 views? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we get to that bet, I do want to thank everybody who donated and or super chatted for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis Episode 2 last Wednesday night. Huge thank you to Electric Kevin, Ice Aiden, Sean Gilbride, Pick Rick, Dark Emperor J, Sonya / Mayan K. Special thank you to That Man and Free Weep, who both donated very, very large donations. Thank all of you guys so much. You guys are incredible. You truly breathe life into the channel. All of you that donated, all of you that watched last week, thank you. If you do want to support the channel, two ways to do it. The YouTube Super Chat function or the link in the description. A much larger percentage does go directly to me using the link in the description. But whatever way you're comfortable with, it means the world to me. Donations are never expected. They are always appreciated. Thank you all so much for being here and for the support that you show me just with your time. It means the world. Dredger, 550,000 views was the bet. Now, again, I like when we bet things that are just kind of fun. It was it was very much, you know, it'll be a gelato, right? We're going to get the other person.
A large gelato.
A large
with
gelato.
Toppings.
I might only be in the mood for a medium. You might get away with that one.
Oh, but stop. I know you and dessert. You could have eaten a whole meal, man. Like, you're going to get a large gelato. Maybe add some marshmallows, some cotton candy.
Well, you got to.
The worst
get
part
toppings.
Is you don't even get the normal gelato. You're going to get like the gelato flavor that I look at and I go, what? This isn't gelato.
And you
I want
always
that one.
Make a joke like that. As we're at the counter, you get a ridiculous flavor,
oh,
and then
my
you
God.
Get that stupid gut laugh. About
hi, can I get that one? And we're all me, the gut we're all behind him, like, what did you just
can
say?
I get banana nut muffin with a couple
God,
of
with some chocolate Kit Kats and a little bit of raspberry sauce.
With some
sauce.
Charleston shoes on.
Charleston. Oh my God, that's a throwback. Oh
so,
God,
so that was so the bet was. I was very confident it would not hit 500K in 30 days. Dredger, you felt it would break 600K in 30 days.
I was confident.
So we met in the middle at 550. You wanted to 10 extra days. I gave it because I knew that, like, if it was going to hit, it was going to hit. I felt very confident, but at the end of the day, those views are coming in the first 10, 15 days. It's just how YouTube works, unless something, like, weird happens. Chat was pretty split. There were people that agreed with me. There were people that agreed with you. The total for Yu-Gi-Oh! Charmers, The Chronicles, Episode 1, at the 38-day mark, 264,000 views.
I didn't get to halfway.
Dredge, what went wrong, man?
A lot of things went wrong, apparently. Apparently, I had mistrusted faith in Konami's ability to promote their only anime right now. and the lack of viewership and love, because this is one of the lesser lores, at least less liked lores. And I guess I must just have been wanting to go at you about something that day, because looking back, I don't know where I got off thinking we were gonna get 600K. It was rough.
I think you were basing it off of the episode one totals Sky Striker and Brandon got.
Yeah, I was hoping. I mean, it would make sense. I'm looking at a trend. I'm looking at a pattern. However, clearly just the disappointment that the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans have right now with Konami, and I'd argue rightfully so. They just, why would we continue to watch something that's going to be, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, something like that. So, I was wrong. I have no problem admitting it. I'm a little sad. I was hoping we'd at least get, you know, break. Maybe it's like 450 right now, so you'd be a little nervous or something. 480, like 501.
I'll be honest, Dredge. It underperformed even what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I know.
I thought it would be like in the high threes, low fours, mid twos.
Yeah, I'd argue
at crazy.
Least like I would have been like, it would have been like, in my odds, I'd be betting on Kalshi. Like $10,000 on a hit 300K. Like easy on Kalshi. Thank God I don't have Kalshi. Whoa, big mistake there. But yeah,
FanDuel
like
is a portal to hell.
It was hey, me and some people in chat, we apologize. I hope they apologize to you too for thinking of how wrong you were. You were right. So yeah, I owe you a gelato, and it was definitely a friendly wager. And I will not be wagering you about the Chronicles anymore. I don't think that will fare well for me in the future.
It's all right, man. I do look forward to the ice cream. yeah, no, I mean, it even shocked me with how it performed. I think at the 30-day mark, it was at like 235, 240. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, episode 2 is trending even worse, but we'll see. All right, yep. Episodes. Just wanted to cover that because obviously this was right before the 40-day mark hit. Episodes 3 and 4 of Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5, Shingo Sawatari versus Yuya Sakaki. Whenever there are duels that expand over 2 episodes, we will be covering all of them. And yeah, I mean, Pete, I'm going to start with you. Shingo is a character that, you know, you knew of before we obviously did this podcast. I think a lot of the guys did. Sucks that Nick T isn't here because I know Nick T is one of the, you know, I think it's one of his like favorite characters, at least from afar. But Pete, what are your thoughts here on episodes 3 and 4?
Yeah, I really liked them. I feel like shows like this where it's a typical anime and it's like 21 minutes technically, right? 20 minutes when you cut out the ending and the, you know, kind of, you know, previously on and all that other stuff. It usually takes me like 7 to 10 episodes to get into a show. And I still feel like I'm very much in that. All right, I still need to get my feet wet here in this show. But I've really liked the first 4 episodes. And even though Shingo, I think for all the jokes that I knew about him, I didn't really know about the character, right? Besides that he looks like Calibro. And watching this, he was definitely very different than I thought he would be. And so that was something that was kind of welcoming because I expected him to kind of be a little pompous and stuff, but not as, I felt he was a little bit at times sadistic in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how fully, you know, like he's not on, you know, kind of a Reggie level, but he still clearly, as we'll discuss more.
Yeah.
But that definitely shocked me. And I kind of enjoyed his character for what it was. Like he was fun and it was nice to have an interesting, I don't want to say darker because like it wasn't that serious. I mean, the guy has rubber tip darts. But more, it just felt a little more serious than we've gotten already in the first 2 episodes. And I think that counteracting against Yuya, who is obviously an entertainment duelist, right? He is very different, in terms of his personality. I thought it really worked well for the 2 episodes. You know, I will say before I change over to Dredge here in our general thoughts, man, Konami and just in general Gallup cannot help but putting female characters in Yu-Gi-Oh! In danger, like immediately.
Yeah, they love doing it.
The show starts.
They love doing
and
it.
And all I'm thinking in this episode is like I'm trying to focus on the duel, right, and what's going on, and understanding kind of the, you know, action duels because they are very different, as we talked about. And all I'm thinking about is Yuzu. Man, this girl must never skip arm day. Because I'm like, she's holding this kid for, like, it feels like 30 minutes. And, like, no offense to the kid, but he's not, like, this tiny
he's heavy,
little
bro.
Guy.
He's a little heavy guy.
And all I'm thinking is, I'm like, you know what? I'm more impressed with her right now than I am in Yuya in the early parts of this duel. So that's all I was thinking throughout these 2 episodes. But, yeah, I had fun. It was a good 2-part duel. And, yeah, looking forward to more.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. No, love it. Dredge, your thoughts on the first – I always view this as, like, the – this always, to me, felt like the first, like, duel, you know? Obviously, the Sledgehammer was an intro. Yuya Yuzu's pretty quick. This is, like, that first, like, real, like, substantive duel, in my opinion. Dredge, what were your thoughts on it?
I enjoyed the episodes. I enjoyed the duel. I enjoyed the characters. I'm really enjoying Arc 5 so far. I have to agree with Pete. I think the way you describe Shingo for a while, we call him 0-9 Shingo. I feel like there were Cal, like he's like Cal in some ways. And so I didn't expect this guy to be like actually like any kind of sadisticness, any kind of like, you know, evil intentions in him. Because I'm thinking Cal, I'm like, Cal's a nice guy. I don't know, like maybe he's like a good looking guy. You know, he's got some charisma.
Sure.
You know, but then I meet this guy and I'm like, that's not like Cal. I don't know where we.
Well, why are we comparing him to Cal?
You're the one that said you're. What do you mean? Me?
I've never compared.
You're the one.
I've never compared him to Cal.
Elaine,
make all the clips.
Elaine,
make all
the
clips of him saying it over the years.
Oh, God. But yeah, so I also found it very interesting that that Akiba Reiji is basically arguably coaching.
Sure.
Coaching Shingo through a earpiece, sure. Which is interesting to me. I don't know how to feel about Akiba Reiji yet. He's definitely an interesting character. Clearly has this aura about him to a degree where base Shingo's listening to whatever he says, not even really questioning him. And almost at the end of the duel, you see him again too, kind of like, oh, no, like you know, we're not going to steal the cards anymore. We're going to go out this in a different way, a different plan. So I thought that was cool. We get introduced to, I believe, Sora was the character, the blue hair Sora.
Yes, Sora.
Who took out four people with a lollipop stick, which I'm still very confused about. but, you know, it sounds like Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah, just throws a lollipop stick, you know, knocks people
roll
out.
With it.
Yeah, we roll with that. I liked seeing... you know, the combat Yuzu's great. Yuzu's muscle. I was saying, like, I'm like, is Yuzu Captain America? Like, what's going on here? You know how much strength you need to hold someone for that long? Like, we're not even going to do it. I have to get into physics and stuff. We're not doing it.
You guys were very impressed with Yuzu's upper arm strength.
Her strength. Yeah. Because once again, as Pete said, why is the female character in some sort of distress or is falling off, you know, a building? Like, can we write something different, please? But we don't. No. So we get past that. Yeah. We have to talk about it. I like seeing Yuya's emotions in the duel. I do think he's going to be this very fun, happy-go-lucky duelist. But seeing him nervous, seeing him like... You know, especially when he sees Shingo pendulum summon, he kind of for a moment thought, I'm the only one that can, no, someone else can do that? Like, there's no way I'm the only one that can pendulum summon, right? It's, you know, it's not. So seeing him realize, like, it's not just him. He is unique, but not in just that for that reason.
Yeah, yeah. He felt like he lost the thing that made him special. Yeah.
Agreed. So for a moment, then he remembered, I'm an entertainment duelist. I'm putting on a show. And that's when he goes into that whole theater aspect to help him win the duel. And also him getting his cards back was very cool. I thought the card play was interesting. I was intrigued about the action cards in this duel, which shows me that I think Shingo was cheating, that there were multiple action traps. I have a feeling we won't see that again to that degree of where the first two, three cards are all going to be action traps. It seemed like that was a setup for the style that we knew that Yuya likes to play. He likes to run around the map, per se, and find out where the action cards are. So I'm intrigued to see how that goes. But overall, yeah, really enjoyed it. Obviously, the outcome, Yuya wins. You know, we knew Shingo's record, so I didn't have to worry about anything. that's the only problem is knowing Shingo's record. It's like, well, I know who wins this duel. Anytime we see Shingo, it's like, well, what? When we think Shingo has a lock, we're going to go, oh, crap.
You know, when I was
get cooked here, this isn't good.
Yeah. When I was calling him 0-9 Shingo.
I'm smashing the under.
During the Vrains podcast, during the Sevens podcast, I truly never believed we would ever be doing this podcast.
Yeah.
I never believed we would ever do an Arc 5 podcast. So, you know.
There we are.
That one kind of came back to bite me a little bit. But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, so, I'm looking forward to seeing more of Pendulum Summoning. I'm still not a huge fan of Pendulum Summoning, personally. It's just, I think the Fusion Synchro XZs is just more fun, more, I don't know what the word is, but I just enjoy it more. But that being said,
What don't you like about Pendulum Summoning? Is it like the summoning of like a bunch of different monsters at once doesn't make it feel as like special as summoning
feel
one monster
special.
And all the other mechanics?
Yeah, like it'd be different as like when you synchro, you're upgrading your monster via you know, a tuner and a regular monster card. Usually, like even the way monster cards work, where there's effects to get other cards in the field, it just seems like, oh, I happen to draw, like, and again, imagine you load your deck with Pendulum cards, or imagine you have like it's a 40 card deck and you have 20 monsters, you know. 10 are, you know, scale 1, and then 10 are scale, like, you know, let's say 12, right? The odds of you being able to set the pendulum scale are going to be likely, right? It just is, you know, and then you can always... So I just think that it makes it almost too easy.
Okay.
And I can't wait to see when multiple opponents can do it to each other at the same time. I really want to see how that does. I think that'll make me enjoy it more if I can see it be competitive, right? Because my thoughts is if one side gets the pendulum... And the other side doesn't, they're kind of cooked. Now, in this duel, Shingo pendulums and Yu is able to overcome it. So that was a good example of that. But I want to see, I think it takes away from the excitement of fusion summoning or, you know, XZs, you know, the overlay units. It's, you know, we're swinging a little pendulum. You know, the two guys come out and the monsters come out. I don't know how to describe it. I just don't get the same feeling. I wish I did, but so far it hasn't done it for me. Even link summoning was cool. Setting the, as much as I hated it and thought it was tutorial and miserable, setting the arrows, the left one, the right one, taking 45 minutes, finally get a monster out. Just the idea of that the link summon, link shoken, and then you see, you know, decode talker come out. It looks awesome, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not, you know, even with links, it's not one monster that comes out of it. Pendulum is the only mechanic where it's multiple monsters. And so it is different in that way. And you could argue that, like, the point of Pendulum is to get into those extra plays. And, you know, we'll see if that happens in the show.
Yeah, and it seems like the Pendulum scale cards have effects. Seems like them all the monsters have effects, but, like, when that'll help it build.
Yeah.
So we'll go from there. But yeah, just not a huge fan of the Pendulum summoning overall. But overall, again, enjoying the show, the characters.
Yeah.
And kind of how they're setting it up. I'm excited to watch episodes 5 and 6. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Akiba Reiji, more of Yuya, meet more of Sora. Like, I want to see more and learn more about what's going on.
Yeah, no, I love that. Pete, what are your thoughts on, like, Pendulum summoning so far in the early going?
Yeah, I kind of agree. The word that comes to mind for me is it just doesn't feel earned. And maybe it will at some point. It's just like, as soon as you get these two sides of the scale, you're just spamming your field with monsters. And it makes me laugh because I'm imagining probably the people that didn't like Pendulums are also the same people that didn't like Rush Duels. I'm assuming there's a lot of crossover there because Rush Duels, the whole thing was, oh, you could put as many cards on the field on one turn and all this stuff.
Fair. Sure.
And I feel like those two areas of people not liking that, it's like the handshake meme, right? Like, that's kind of the impression I get.
I like that.
And at this moment, like, I think we expanded upon it a little bit, and it's like, all right, both sides of the scale are actually spell cards. That's what they're recognized as. So there was some progression of explaining the different things that even our characters do not realize because it's a completely brand new summoning mechanic that Yuya created.
Right.
But I'm interested in diving into the nuance of it more. But for right now, it's just like, I think there's something about, to Dredge's point, like, when you're doing some kind of chant and then there's visuals and it's for one monster and it's this huge build-up moment, maybe for the whole duel, there's just something special about that.
Mm-hmm.
And having, at the moment, three monsters at once, it's obviously splitting your attention, your interest. There's always one monster, usually in Yuya's case, it's Odd Eyes, right?
Odd Eyes, yeah.
That is the important card, really. The other ones are just kind of ancillary. Yeah. And there's just something that just doesn't feel as special at the moment. Now, maybe that will change. That's kind of how I am through 4 episodes.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Especially because you guys have been enjoying the story and the characters. It doesn't mean you're going to enjoy every element of it. So I think that's super fair. Let's talk about Akiba Reiji. He was brought up a couple of times. The white-haired guy, glasses. You know, these are the first 2 episodes where we really kind of learn a little bit, really not much more about him.
Not
but
much.
We see
not
him.
Much.
We see him more. He's at one point like commanding Shingo what to do.
Yeah.
What are the thoughts surrounding Akiba Reiji at this point in time?
I like him. I think, in the limited scenes that you have of him, you can definitely feel the aura farming, but you could feel the power in his voice where Shingo doesn't, he's annoyed by this, right? He doesn't want to be doing and being instructed in this duel. He wants to be doing his own thing, but he still obeys it because he knows, even at first when he's just like, who is this? I think it kind of sets in as the duel's going on of like, oh, it's him, right? And so it's like, you're going to listen to this. And I think at the end, what I like when you see from, you know, we don't know at this point in the story, but rival or a villain, he's probably going to be a rival. But what you like to see about a character like Akiba Reiji is you want to see some kind of, I don't know, there's something there that makes them multidimensional. And I think the fact that he had a plan to go after Yuya's cards at first, and he's like, you know what, I'm not going to do that because he kind of impresses me. I think that is more interesting of a story detail. And so in those limited moments, I'm like, I like that. I like having this character have multiple angles to him, and he's not just, oh my God. You know, not to pick on GX, but like I felt this way very much about Manjome. We're like early on in GX, like Manjome is a one track. I despise Judai. F this guy. I hate him. And it's like, okay, but where's that other side to you?
Yeah.
Like it just feels, you feel very flat. And I don't, and I think he's barely spoken, and I already feel like we're off to a better start with the Ragies. So
yeah, no, I mean that's, I think that's very fair. And Manjome does get to that point, but it does take 27, 28 episodes
before
he gets to that point of just his character not being just about hating Judai, for sure. So it definitely, and Ragey, right, as you said, shows it here in episodes 3 and 4. Dredge, your thoughts on Akiba Ragey, the rival villain, whatever role this guy's going to play. Pete thinks it'll be more of a rival. Is always very imperative to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, to any anime in general, right? You're only as good as your villains. You're only as good as your rivals. They have to be able to be interesting, to push the story, to push the main character. What are your vibes so far on Akiba Ragey early on?
I mean, again, I think Pete hit the nail right on the head, but I will continue a little bit more and expand slightly on it. We haven't seen him a lot, but every time he's on the screen, I'm glued to the screen.
Yeah.
I'm listening to everything he's saying. I'm listening to the tone in which he's speaking. It seems like he just commands that respect because people know him. And it's going to be interesting when we first get his first, obviously meet up with Yuya, how that's going to go. And I'd have to agree with Pete. I do think he's going to end up being more of a rival. He might start as a small villain, but I think he's going to trend to that rival role. Again, I said it, I think on one of the previous episodes, reminds me a lot of Kaiba. Like, in the beginning, just like he's the head of a company. You know, he tells people what to do, what he wants. He does meet Yugi a lot earlier. I think that makes it a little harder. Whereas Akiba Ragey is kind of watching from afar, understanding what's going on, and then he's going to implement his plan. It seems like just Ragey's very calculated. I'm excited to see kind of what he does. I'm hoping he's in episodes 5 and 6. I really want to know what's the next step for that. Obviously, now that Shingo's lost, the LDS did not obtain the pendulum cards. What's the next plan? So Ragey's is imperative to that plan. Clearly, he's the one that initiated this original plan, and now he has to regroup and say, okay, I respect this guy. He's entertaining. Maybe there's something more here. Maybe I can't send my pawn. It's like he's the king on a chessboard. He's like, I can't send the pawns anymore. Maybe I do need to send maybe I need to meet him, or maybe I send someone a little stronger to meet him first. So I'm interested to see where that goes.
I always felt like this was the first episode as well, or the first duel, I should say, as well, that really showed how cool action duels can be, where we have the setup, we have the real danger, we have the stage, if you will. And that is something that, is going to continue to play out as the series goes on. I know you guys are not too high on pendulum summoning. How are you guys feeling, Pete? I'll start with you on action dueling in general being like a stage where you can grab cards like action spells or action traps that you can use in the duel. There's different like backdrops and stuff and different environments. Like, how are you feeling about that concept as well early on here in Arc 5? Because that's a big part of Arc 5.
I think I'm kind of mixed, to be honest. I think I like it because it has a lot of creativity elements of where we can go, and I like that we're having a consistent way in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel to provide the game to become physical, right? To become real life.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's very interesting. I think it's not necessarily that I'm against it. It's just so different from what I'm used to that I think it's going to take me a while to get used to, like, them basically finding power-ups on the board by physically going there and physically also using their monsters with, like, the actions, right? Like, it's a flying monster, they could fly. In this case, Yuya is basically using a water bug, right? Like, it applies to these situations, and I think that element's going to take me a little bit to get used to it, but I'm open to exploring it more. I don't totally hate it. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, no, very, very fair. It was I remember early on, I liked it. It was certainly something that I mean, I don't want to, again, it's tough for me. We talked about it after episode 2 because I'm speaking from a different perspective. I will say, and again, it could be totally different. It is something that I really enjoyed earlier in the show versus later. And again, I'm not going to give the reason as to why, and I feel like that's pretty generic enough where it doesn't really give much away. But yeah, early on, I really liked it. It reminded me of the riding duels in Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, where like that was something that was brand new, and they would sometimes pick up cards off the track. This just felt a little more free rather than like a motorcycle race. And so that was something that really intrigued me early on. Calibro, absolutely. Calibro, if you want to jump into the call, it should auto be good. So he's good. Yeah, perfect. All right, Calibro will be joining in just a sec. While Calibro gets in here, Dredge, how are you feeling regarding the whole action duel stuff?
I think I'm enjoying them a little bit more than Pete is. I will say cool. I am a bit mixed, though, won't lie. Did that go to the right spot? Let's see.
Yeah, it will.
No, it did not go to the right spot.
Yeah.
Oh, it did. What the hell? That took a second. I like the idea of moving along the battlefield. I do wonder, is it kind of like, my one question is, and I know it's Solid Vision, which gives things mass, and that's the big promoter they're promoting with these action duels. For example, if Yuzu were to have fallen off of that tower, like, is it like kind of like if you die in the game, die in real life? Like what are we working with here? That's what I feel like I need to know that. And if you can't tell me that, don't tell me that. That's fair. But I feel like until I know the stakes of being in this, like, whereas, you're running around could have consequence. What if he, like, you know, falls off a cliff, or if he, you know, things happen like that can really. And now, again, it's Yu-Gi-Oh! So I don't know if we're going to get to that level of intensity. However, I think the idea of the characters moving bring something different that you don't see, obviously, in GX, in DM, and 5Ds had riding duels. Zexal seems like they're very standstill duels from what I've watched so far, and then even GX7s, like, you know, I can't really speak on 5Ds had the riding duels, I'm intrigued. I like it. I think it's gonna be fun. For now, I don't know how it would be if it was a really important duel, really serious, you know, doing and you just run around looking for cards in the middle of the trees while the main boss guy's standing there like, where the hell is this guy going? Like, what's he running for? Like, you know, I think that could take away from the seriousness and the hype of it. But sure. That being said, so far I am enjoying them. So we will see.
I will say, if I ever had a choice to do a duel in, like, whether it was a riding duel or I would pick action duel. I think
because then you could put on a show while your opponent murdering you in cold blood.
You'd be
like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything. And I while this guy's looking at me, like, what is this guy doing?
I think the thought of, like, picking up a card and not knowing whether it'll help you or hurt you, and, like, that's a cool concept.
The gambling aspect.
Yeah, it's a cool concept. Oh, I really, really liked it. We got Cal Breezy here. Cal was a questionable. I'm happy he was able to make it. Cal Breezy, you watched episodes 3 and 4, my friend. How are you feeling overall about Shingo, about the episodes, just your thoughts overall?
Well, first off, I have to bring it up. The comparisons of me and Shingo.
That was Dylan.
No, I agree with you. And I never made those comparisons. I don't know where this started.
Yes, you
I don't know where they came from. We're going to have to go back and check the logs.
Pull the clips.
Get me some clips here. This is ridiculous. I vehemently remember him saying it multiple times.
I'll just generally speaking about like 3 and 4. I thought they were good. I actually kind of liked Shingo's introduction as a character, and I think I think Dredger used the word. I think it was like sinister. Like, he's a lot more like sinister, if that's the right word that I'm thinking of.
Suave.
Than like maybe I expected. And then also, how do you lose this? Like, you're being coached by somebody. How do
you're
you
being coached by probably?
Like, well, that's his MO, man. That's his modus operandi.
You stole the man's cards, his pride and joy, the thing that made him famous out of nowhere, and you throw him trash or garbage cards, and he comes out.
Was gonna make him work,
and he takes you down. That's just I understand the nickname now. I get it,
Calibro. I get it
to yourself or to 0-9.
To 09, to 09. The comparisons to me, I mean, those will live wild, on for a long time. I don't know. Crazy. I don't know what they are. I'm
wondering when to clear the record.
I did apologize.
I mean, again, as I said, because of the good looks, it's the only thing I saw that comparable.
And I appreciate that, Judge. I appreciate you saying that.
I did apologize to the two guys before you came in, Cal, that I, you know, when I coined the nickname and proudly said 0-9 Shingo during the Brains days, during the Sevens days, during the Go Rush days. Yeah. I genuinely would never have imagined in a million years we would be doing this podcast and you guys would be watching Arc 5 for the first time with me here on the channel with everybody watching. So I do apologize, potentially spoiling a majority of his dual results. Keep in mind,
that's fine.
It's a specific
all of his,
it's the singles.
It's a specific type of duels. So that you know.
Honestly,
I'm pretty sure I know his record otherwise. But
yeah, while watching this episode, I was thinking to myself, Dylan said he was 0-9 in only solo duels. So does he win this? Like, is Reiji technically dueling with him? So that wrinkle of it to me was like, oh, maybe he can pull this one off, you know?
That caveat will hopefully make it, like, make you question the results rather than...
A little bit. I hope it does, too. I think he has a lot of... Shingo has potential to be, like, an okay character, but, like, it's hard to beat the reputation you've given him over the years, so...
Well, listen, I think most people like him. I mean, I think most people like him. I think what I think, but, you know, it's as simple as that.
Personality-wise, right, I could still give him a chance, but, like, this to lose in this way in your first duel, you know, it's not a good look.
Calibro, Dredger and Pete were both lukewarm on pendulum summoning thus far. I'd love to know your thoughts on the mechanic.
It's interesting. I was listening while I was working, and I know Dredge had mentioned it. Maybe it's because people that don't like this wouldn't like Rush.
I think Pete said that.
Because the ability to put all these cards on like at the same time.
Sure.
So like I get that. I think it's cool, like a cool wrinkle. Like I think when it first came out, it was probably like, whoa, this is so different. It's really cool. You know, like I think it's very interesting from like the main summoning mechanics for like. Because everything else is kind of, you're getting one big card, right? And I think Pete had said that. Maybe it's Dredge. Maybe I'm flipping you guys. But I think there's that one big moment for that one big card, right?
Right, Pete.
And it's like, well, you're not the same. I just wasn't looking at the screen. And you know,
it's not a big deal. I'm just saying. I'm not. Do I look mad? I'm not mad. I'm just letting you know, bro. It's all good. No. I'm not worried about it.
But like, it's definitely unique. Like, I do like the creativity of it. However, I can understand kind of the aspect of you just get to play all these cards at once. You're not really, like, earning these cards onto the field. It's kind of – it's more luck of the draw, I guess, to get your pendulum cards, if anything. But I don't know. It's not my least favorite. It's not my favorite. I like fusions, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, cool. No, I like that. Yeah, well, awesome. I think we probably can move to some donation super chats. I'm sure some of them are probably in line with the episode, and we'll talk about things as they get brought up. But Caliber, it's great that you joined us here.
Absolutely.
Dark Emperor J, thank you for the $2 donation. Random question, what was the longest time you spent looking for a parking spot? Well, I took a bet that a donation or super chat might be in about Arc 5, and it is not. It's about parking. I was wrong. longest I've ever looked for a parking spot. I don't have any memories that come to mind, so I would probably say maybe 10 minutes at most.
I feel like at the when we go to a Jets or Giants game, you've been looking for a bit. I think that's the only one I can think of, though.
Yeah, Red Bank would sometimes be really, like Red Stank would sometimes be really busy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let it go. Yeah, I feel like I'm somebody who, like, I've never minded walking far. So I'm like, usually the first spot I see, like, I'm not going to stress about it. I'm in a park. If I have to walk a mile, I got to walk a mile. So for me, it's can't be more than probably 10 minutes or so off top. Now, again, say I was going to an event and, like, there's a line to get into the parking and you have to pay or, like, did you hand them a ticket? Mm-hmm. I probably waited on those lines forever because people are dumb and don't have their tickets and stuff ready. But, like, actually... Yep. Physically looking for a parking spot and I have that available to me, like 10 minutes is probably the max.
Pete?
Yeah, I would lean like 10-15 minutes max.
Anything comes to mind.
I'd probably be in the same boat, probably 10 to 15. Nothing sticks out to me. It's just more, sporting events maybe.
Sure. Yeah, sporting events.
I'm kind of like judging that way of like, I don't I'll,
yeah, if I got to park, really, if I got to walk out of
it. It doesn't really matter. As long as I can get out of my car and get going.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. As long as no one hits my car, I can park my car. I don't really don't care.
Yep. Yep. Mm. I think we have two super chats from Sean Gilbride.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you, man.
With $5 from Sean. Being in this community has gotten me past some deep depression that I've experienced the past few years, and I wanted to thank Dylan and everyone else here.
Of course, man.
Thank you. I mean, listen, dude.
Glad we could help.
Yeah, you guys have been there for me through some of my darkest times as well, and I can almost speak for the guys on the panel as well. It's nice that we have so many people that enjoy watching us and talking and hanging out. And, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the one thing, of course, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime that has, like, united all of us. I mean, it just has. And, you know, the fact that we're still kicking on, even with that being done now for almost a year and more time coming is really, really cool. So I don't take that for granted at all. So content's not going to stop anytime soon. Thank you, Sean, for the kind words. We appreciate you greatly, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And we have another $2 from Sean saying, Konami, on the other hand.
True. Yeah, I mean, well, of course. Of course it's true. I don't know if you guys, like, had a chance to see the video that I posted yesterday. Konami Japan came out with, like, new guidelines. I mean,
a Master Duel one?
Yeah, some people have said it's ridiculous. Other people have argued that, like, it's kind of par for the, not that it's par for the course, but that it's actually, like, not that big of a deal. So, you know, I mean, it's certainly not surprising. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone, and you hope that that's not something that comes global. For those that missed the video, Konami Japan basically came out and said, you're not allowed to share, like, Master Duel clips, video clips on Twitter or Discord. That was really the gist of it.
How would they monitor Discord if you're in a private...
Yeah, Discord, I don't know. Yeah, Discord, I don't know. Twitter, you certainly could, probably the same way that you do on YouTube by putting, like,
protection bots. Oh, yeah, you could just
search
it. Yeah. But Discord... It just sounds terrible. Like, it sounds like they're just limiting... Like, wouldn't you want promotion of your only successful game right now? Why would you want to limit people promoting your game? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know either.
Is Japan, like, going against allowing Twitter and Discord at all? Like, is that
that's a good question. No, I don't think there's been any restrictions in that country on any social media sites. I know there are some countries pushing for, like, social media restrictions. I think Australia actually recently, right? You now have to be over 16 to be on social media, which, to be honest, people will lie. I don't fully disagree with that idea.
It's not the worst idea.
Not nowadays.
Because social media is awful. But then I get the whole debate on, like, you know, choice and freedom of that, and, like, it just becomes
you got to be at least somewhat of a close to of age to be able to make that. That's why we're not allowed to drink alcohol.
Correct.
Like, your brain isn't developed at that age. You know, it's you're susceptible seeing things. The internet is a scary place. As we all know, there's things on there that are very easily accessible for anyone. So I there's a line.
Like this channel.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it should.
Yeah, we're on here.
Yeah.
For me, it's about, I get the idea of the free speech and stuff like that. But I think it's hard to understand when you're young, but there really is a value on protecting a minor's innocence. And I think we've kind of lost that, right? Because people can look anything up and get so connected and so educated over the internet. And I think sometimes it's good to grow up without the eyes of the world or your friends on you constantly and worrying about that. And it's kind of, I understand if Australia in this way wanted to get back to that, because I kind of miss those times too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very well said. Social media is awful. I mean, it's definitely an interesting debate for sure. But yeah, no, I mean, to Sean's point, and Sean, thank you so much for the super chat. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's Konami has not made life easier for many of us. And, you know, we just hope that something will be announced soon in the sphere and in the Yu-Gi-Oh sphere, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. I don't often have chat up. I just see Barrett Letty. Dylan, many of your subscribers in Australia are 4. Pete, would you like to take that one?
I'd like to see the statistics on that that Barrett has access to. I didn't know that he did a lot of the data mining for Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, but I'd be interested to hear that.
I'm putting
He could maybe he can make a video with Cal or somebody.
It sounds like a financial reporting esque video. Yeah. I think I would love to see that.
Hopefully Barrett comes to Delaware. We can do another Friday night FUM at some point in the future.
Oh my god.
So he could shove away another Chris Swan.
Jesus, dude. I still, like, if I ever meet Chris Swan,
Swan's immortalized on this channel. Chris Swan, the last time he was in any of my, like, streams, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. It may have been pre-COVID.
He's gone, man.
I mean, he's, you know. If the name Chris Swan ever like chatted, dude, I would lose it.
Oh god.
I would go crazy.
He's one of those people where like, dude, I would lose it instantly. I mean, really. But yeah, Sean, listen, hopefully hopefully Konami does the right thing soon and you know, gives us another like anime. But we'll see, man. We'll see. It's
don't count on that, folks.
Yeah, it sucks. But in the meantime, we will do whatever we can to bring up hopefully enjoyable content here to the channel. So thank you so much, Sean Gilbride. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
I think Cal, we have a couple more, right?
You know, but I was just going to bring up something, Dill. I was told to ask you about your air vents.
Oh, Jesus.
You were told to ask about my what?
Your air vents.
My air vents. Who asked you?
You know who. Why are you
Yeah, okay. Well, that's because it was freezing in this office, and I realized probably about a week ago that the vent in the office had been closed the entire time. I was
I
was moving things around my basement, and you know, we have the two, they're not bedrooms, but they're two, like, I guess, I don't know, bonus rooms. I don't know what you'd call them in the basement. And the one at the end is so warm, and I'm moving stuff around. I'm like, oh, it's so warm in here, man. I chose the wrong freaking room for my office. Come back in here and it's like 10 degrees colder. And I'm like, what the hell? And I look at the vent, and the vent's been closed since we moved in October.
Oh,
now you're warm.
So now it's fine in here. Yeah. Now it's warm.
Yeah, I bet.
That's so funny.
2.5 months. How did I not notice?
You're not observant.
You're you.
There you go. Yeah.
I just didn't think to look at the vent.
To be honest, I'm surprised you figured it out that quickly.
There was one time I had lost my Nintendo Switch and Dredger came over.
I
couldn't believe this.
Dude.
I was so impressed.
No, that was funny.
I was so impressed. Dude, Dredger was like, I know exactly what box it's in, and he would like tell me what box. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he came over to help me move, and he found it. Yes.
Sitting right there.
Yeah.
In like a good 20 seconds.
And he pulled it out, and he had such anger on his face, and I was like, thank you, man. Like, you did me a huge favor.
Did you ever find Zero and Remy?
No. I'm going to probably.
So they're just lost.
They're gone.
I don't know what happened to them. I'm going to have to buy.
I guarantee you they're in a box that you have not.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't remember what that box looks like. So I can't.
I guarantee you.
I've opened almost every box at this point.
Yeah. So
but you haven't opened all of them.
Almost.
That's all that matters.
Every box. There you go.
It's
the one box sitting in your garage that you haven't touched. It's just sitting there.
I will
maybe
find
you snuck them into like a Funko box and just like kind of put them in there.
Or maybe he went off to a restaurant, man. Maybe he's cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, he could be cooking.
Maybe he's working at the tavern down the road. You know,
could be. You should go in there.
Delaware
sometime.
Tavern.
Yikes. Oh boy. No, but okay. Well, Barrett then wrote me and Lorraine got a real kick out of that story. Thanks, Dill. That's what he wrote when I.
I bet they did.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah. I'm sure he did. So, you know, I'm sure I'll hear about the vents for the rest of my life from him. But, yeah, Barrett, thank you for coming by. We have a few more Super Chats, boys, and then we can talk a little bit about Arc 5.
Yep.
Cool.
Cal.
Sure. Yeah, I got you. We got $5 Australian from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it, my friend.
And Kevin said, how do you guys feel about the return of the Dragon Ball Super anime?
So, obviously, this news came in a few days ago. I've never watched Dragon Ball, but obviously a huge congratulations to people who are in that fandom and people that are Dragon Ball fans. And I mean, it must be great, you know, seeing your an anime and an IP that you love like get another series, get another show after being offline for a while. Like that's got to be such a great feeling. So really, really happy for them. I really no contempt in my voice at all. Very happy for people who who like
you
that franchise. No, in all seriousness, it is really, really cool, I'm sure. But Caliber, you're someone who's been pretty into Dragon Ball as of late. I'm sure you've heard this news. What are your thoughts, man?
I'm excited. I think it's going to get me back on track with rewatching because I haven't watched Super's actually one of the ones I've never watched. So I'm going to watch the rest of Super. I watched the Battle of Gods, the movie. I think it was the Battle of Gods.
Did you ever get to Goku Black?
No, not yet. So that's where I just haven't watched really any shows. Calibro. I've been watching this now, and that's about it.
The Battle of God is the movie that came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know, like, it's been a while since the anime has aired. I think it's been, like, 6-7 years, somebody had said. But I do know that there was a movie that came out in 2022. So, or whenever it came out.
I don't know if that was the Super movie. It was a tournament, maybe? I don't know.
I just know there was a movie that came out in 22.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, anyway, back to what you were saying.
I did see the movie in 2022, but I don't think that was Super.
6-7. Okay, no problem. But anyway, Cal, back to you.
Superhero. Okay. But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to watch some more Dragon Ball. I got to catch up on the Super anime anyway, so gives me more motivation to do so.
Cool. Yeah. Dredge, Dragon Ball, big anime, big name.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the original Dragon Ball when I was a kid. I have not rewatched it. I want to at some point. Unfortunately, right now there's way too many shows going on. I'm still processing you telling me you want nothing to do with JJK.
That is not what I said.
You said
Dylan,
that?
Dylan, if you go back to your stream, I guarantee it's exactly what you said. I was caught off guard by it. You said, I want nothing to do with JJK.
That is absolutely not what I said.
Elaine, if you have some time.
No, what I said is I don't have any plans to watch it soon. I don't have any plans to watch
it. No, you didn't say you didn't have soon. No, Dylan, you said I don't have any plans to watch it. That's literally what you said.
Well, then if that's what I said, then I misspoke. I still plan to watch it, just not soon.
You misspoke.
But I certainly did not say I was never watching it again. I certainly did not say that.
Yeah, Dak right there. Dak says, can confirm you did not say
I may not have said soon, but I also definitely did not say I want nothing to do with it.
I have no intention of watching it. That's what you said.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I should have added a soon.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of the episodes yet, but like.
Oh my guys. Pete, have you watched episode 4? Yes. Pete, we got to talk about Pete. Wasn't it beautiful?
Oh. It was spectacular.
Oh my God. The best was, though, the fans in Japan hated it. I'm like, of course you do. Of course you do. You're all pieces of garbage. That's why you hated it.
We know why.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't even know anything about it.
You would understand, but yeah, we'll get off that. But no, Dragon Ball just hasn't been my thing. I'm excited for Dragon Ball. It's great they're getting another anime. Hopefully, Yu-Gi-Oh! Follows suit in 2027. That'd be ideal. So.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's great for Dragon Ball. And I will say this as well. Dragon Ball, obviously, the creator of Dragon Ball tragically passed away not too long ago. I want to say it was
24, I believe.
So it was after Takahashi, right? I think it was
24,
Takahashi.
Yeah.
I think it was 24, if I remember correctly.
So that is something to... At least I think if you're a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fan, feel some comfort in that another major IP is still carrying on an anime after the creator has passed away. So that is, I guess, something to take from it if you're a Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan. But also, obviously, you know, just great news for Dragon Ball fans. And I think it's hilarious. I mean, there's so many properties. There's so many shonen, iconic, legend properties that now have anime or are doing something. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Are just, you know, twiddling their fingers. So I think it's great. No, I really do. I'm very happy with it. Pete, I know you've watched Dragon Ball. Are you excited by this news? Indifferent? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've watched every Dragon Ball series. It's the anime I grew up with. It's the only anime I really watched for most of my life. Honestly, I'm kind of mid. To be real, for me, Dragon Ball should have ended after the Cell arc. I'm one of those kind of people in Dragon Ball Z. I just I didn't like Boo, and then, you know, Super has its moments, and, you know, we don't talk about GT. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll check it out. I'm interested to see if it's good, especially if it gets good reviews. But I just think we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point. And the original idea of the show has long since passed. It just feels like we are really trying to milk this IP. So I'll check it out. I don't know if I'll watch the whole thing because I kind of dove in with Super and I was like, all right, cool, I'm excited. And I forgot. And you're right, Dylan. I forgot. I looked it up. I was like, damn, 2018. It's been off that long. Damn. It's been almost 8 years. But it was okay. Like, it had its moments, but there's only so far you can go with the Super Saiyan stuff. And unless they take it in a very fresh direction, I'm kind of mid on it.
Pete, were you a growing up? Were you a big Bulma fan?
I knew it would be something ridiculous that you.
Yeah,
were
you knew it. That's
had what it. I was waiting for. Yes, I do. I do like Bulma. It's not for the reasons you're probably trying to.
Hang on.
I am not Vegeta. So that I'll leave that area to him.
Yeah, it sounds like a Vegeta thing.
But she's a great character. I really enjoy
Now, I remember Trell, his favorite character is the old guy, right? Or am I wrong about that?
You are probably wrong about that, most likely.
Yeah, Master Roshi. Why do I remember Trell, a.k.a. Manticore, being a big, like, Master Roshi guy? Didn't he, like, dress up as him for Halloween?
I think it was a different anime, but I understand where you're pulling that from, maybe. I wouldn't pull Trell. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
It feels like a him move. I mean, he likes Froggy, so it feels like it's guys by the ocean on an island, you know, kind of thing.
I have to pardon the interruption. Elaine has written in the chat, "Star, I was going through my clips, but I have a clip, Dylan, agreeing that Cal is Shingo."
Wow.
Okay.
And Dylan, your thoughts on these allegations that are now on video?
I will listen to the clip and we'll go from there. I think that's fair, right? I'll listen to the clip.
I think you need to play it on a stream just so we all can see it.
I will play it on next stream. Obviously, I can't do it via Discord because the video screen
is up. Of course,
yeah,
I understand.
But I will do it.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think we have a couple more super chats.
Thank you, Elaine.
And Elaine, thank you. Of course.
Surely we have $2 from Echi Zombie.
Echi Zombie.
Echi Zombie.
Echi. Love it, man.
You should have let him say it wrong.
I did say it
What
wrong.
Did they say? What did they?
No, I'm glad you said it wrong. Dylan shouldn't have corrected you.
Yes. What did I miss?
Echi Zombie, what you missed. You didn't miss much, to be honest with you. The Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime ended 11 months ago. We are in this weird space where we are just kind of floating and, you know. I mean, really,
Dylan is running out of non-negative things to say.
What do I say? I've become very bitter.
He's been devolving.
Of course. I don't deny that. I've become very bitter. I don't deny that. I've become extremely bitter. I don't deny that. Echi Zombie, no. On Wednesday nights, we are watching through Arc 5. I am rewatching Arc 5. The boys here and Nick T are watching Arc 5 for the very first time. And so, yeah. Every Wednesday night, we are going to talk, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we are going to watch through Arc 5, so it's going to be a great time. Echi Zombie, thank you so much for the $2 super chat. Hope things have been well. And again, whenever we get any good news, you know, whether that's this Jump Festa, which is in 323 days, or next year, or, you know, 7 years from now.
10 years from now, you know.
I'll let you know, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Echi Zombie. Appreciate it. Jeez.
We have another $2 from Echi Zombie.
Okay.
They said you can always call me Aura Dragon One if you.
Aura Dragon, that's right. Aura Dragon, if I remember, you were huge around the Arc 5 era, right? You were very involved during Arc 5, if I remember correctly. That is definitely a throwback. Yeah. Love the name change. Hope everything's been well. And thank you so much for the super chat, my friend. That is a name that I feel like I've not heard in a while. There's a lot of people that, like, I'm sure, like, Pete, you can think of the people that through, like, the years have left. Like, there's people after Vrains I have not heard from. After Go Rush, I have not heard from. Brian Ford, man. I mean, we would always talk about him because he...
Oh, my God. He watched the first
few episodes of Sevens, and then he left forever, and then he came back in the middle of Go Rush, and now he's been gone again. But, yeah, he always kind of pops in. But there's a lot of people, man, that, like, they left after a Yu-Gi-Oh! Show ended. And, like, that's totally valid. There's no hard feelings. But if I remember correctly, Aura Dragon was certainly very active during the Arc 5 days, and I think partially the Vrains days as well. So, man, what a blast from the past. What a freaking blast from the past. Awesome to hear from you, my friend. I've always said it. Well, I mean, to be fair, the line I've always said is, as long as a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime is going, we will be going. To be fair, that has not been the case now for 10 months, but we are still going. We are still going. No plans to stop anytime too soon. And yeah, freaking love you guys. So thank you so much, Aura Dragon. We have a couple more super chats, boys.
Yeah, we got two more over here. We got $10 from Fwee Weep.
Fwee Weep. Thank you, Fwee. Thank you, Fwee Fwee.
Fwee Weep said, "Hey guys, I hope everyone's doing well. Dylan, who do you think are all the pro tag's thoughts on the 6-7? Also, I really like Shingo, so I'll try to say this every podcast. Justice for Shingo.
Hashtag Shingo. Justice for Shingo every single podcast. Oh. Well, it shouldn't be justice for Shingo, because even though I don't really like him, I don't know. I think Nick T is the one that I'm most confident was going to like him. So the fact that you three like him early on, I think I'm going to be completely outnumbered on him, and it is what it is.
This is a nightmare for you, isn't it?
Well, I didn't expect everybody to dislike him. Well, we'll see as the story goes on. I actually kind of like Shingo early on, so we'll see as the story goes on.
Thank you.
I didn't dislike Shingo right off the bat, so I'm fine to see how thoughts progress, if anything changes in that regard. You know, it's fine. It's a long show. Still got 144 episodes, so that's no big deal. But Fwee Weep, thank you so much. What are everybody's thoughts on the 6-7 meme? I think Yugi would like it because, you know, it has to do with numbers and that has to do with games. I think Jaden would find it pretty funny. I think Yusei would enjoy the youth that is involved with the 6-7 meme. There's a lot of youth there. I think he would feel like it's a harmless meme and it would be kind of fun. And so I think Yusei would like that. Yuma, I think, would be one of the leaders. Yuma and Yuya would be the two making the TikToks doing it. So, you know, at a basketball game. So Yuya and Yuma would be very, very involved. Yusaku would hate it. If he found anybody over the age of 18 doing it, he would like hack into their computer and blow up their entire like database. He would just hate it. Yuga, I don't know. And then UDS, I think, would be entertained by it. I think UDS would respect the power of the meme, not really knowing what it had to do with. And so I think I think that would be really, really good for Yuya personally. But yeah, I mean, what do you guys think?
No comment.
I just love how you took the two protagonists that you don't really enjoy in Yusaku and Yuga, and you just either trash talked or skated right over them, and then everybody else got a positive.
Okay. All right. Now I'll do Yuga. I think Yuga would actually pull a Dak, my friend Dak, hopefully he's in the chat, and he would create something like this. He would create like a 6-7 spider for the kids, and then maybe he would pretend that the meme annoys him, even though he clearly plays into the meme by creating stuff like this. So I think that's what he would do.
Sure.
Huge shout out to Dak. Big fan of the 6-7, clearly, for 3D printing that. Huge, huge shout out.
man, you ended up getting rid of that guy. I was getting ready to address that dude.
He wanted
to make like seven comments about it. I was waiting.
What was funnier is his grammar was garbage. So I messaged Dak to just watch him. And then I saw that and I go, that's about right. And as I clicked on, I'm already gone. I'm like, oh, there you go.
I mean, first of all, what I just will say is, one, it's an opinion, right?
So yeah. Everybody has one. That's exactly.
Yeah.
But what I love is, to me, what he was going on about how, oh, well, you're watching Yu-Gi-Oh, so that's beating a dead horse, but you don't like it in Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball is the same exact characters that keep constantly progressing in the same storyline, mm-hmm. for the most part.
Different things.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is literally a new set of characters with new stories and new worlds every single show.
How can you beat
a dead horse when it's the exact same thing when the other one is literally the same characters constantly having upgrades over and over and over again in the same timeline of the same actions that they did?
Dragon Ball has had more than 25 years of shows. So Dragon Ball's been has done more than Yu-Gi-Oh! So you'd argue Dragon Ball's been like I don't understand what he's arguing. It made no sense. I was confused, but
How many episodes has Dragon Ball had overall? Like at least 1,000, right?
Yeah, it's definitely 1,000.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't even know the number. It's quite a bit.
Because even though it's been off since 2018.
Even then, it started before
Yu-Gi-Oh! I think. Yeah. So
started 1986.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it started in the early 90s. That's crazy.
Yeah, 86 was Dragon Ball.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, 86. So
yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. That's nuts. Yeah. Well, listen. Whose message was that? Free Weep. Yeah, no. Thank you, Free Weep, for the super chat. And Yuga would make like a 6-7 bot or something like that. I think that's fair.
There it is.
It'd be an invention. He's an inventionist. He's a creator. So I think he'd make a bot. Dark Emperor J, thank you for using the link. Thank you for the $2 donation, my man. I have a question for Pete. Would you be willing to screen record your Radon fight and we react to it on stream like how we did for Dill? Pete, there's really no pressure to do that.
I don't even know how I would do that. I guess through PlayStation's recording.
I think there's a way to do it.
I think it only records 15 minutes back, so yeah, I guess.
Longer than 15 minutes.
I don't know. I guess I'll see if that's practical, but I'm not even at Final Consort Radon yet, so if I remember to do that, sure, but I have no idea. I'm not promising.
Which game is Radon in?
Elden Ring.
But he's in the base game of Elden Ring, and then, spoilers, I mean, he comes back again in the DLC. So.
Is Radon like the hardest boss? Isn't in pre-patch Radon like the hardest boss ever or something?
The keyword is pre-patch.
Here
yeah,
we go.
I'm happy you mentioned
here we
that.
Go. I'm muting my mic.
Look. Owen beat him, I think, after like one patch.
There was a patch, yes.
He was very difficult. Calibur did beat him, and eventually I will beat him at a way later phase after multiple patches because people complained. But to Kalanai's defense, that's out of our hands. We weren't the people complaining to patch him. So we're going to beat him at the stage that he was at.
What I hate about that patch, what I absolutely hate about that patch was the fact that, like, Miyazaki said before the Elden Ring DLC came out that he wanted to make a boss, and I'm maybe paraphrasing a little bit, he wanted to make a boss that challenged what was possible in the realm of a video game. So you knew that the boss was going to be really stupidly broken, and it was, and it really was. And you could still argue that it is, but like, it's an optional thing. It doesn't prevent anyone from getting a platinum. It's like the end of the DLC. I don't understand why they gave in to patching it.
It's a joke, Dill, and I know From Software is very bad with this. It's a joke that the entire DLC does not have a single trophy. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I'm trying to think. I think Bloodborne's old hunters even have trophies, maybe. But
maybe I don't know.
I think I've been getting. I think there's been a trophy. I don't know.
Well, in the DLC, the DLC part.
Oh, in the DLC.
Yeah, no, it sucks when there's no trophies in the DLC. But yeah, no, they're not good with that. And Yeah, the only reason Bloodborne might is because it was like in conjunction with Sony. So if there are, it was definitely a Sony push and not a FromSoft push to include trophies. But yeah, I don't know why they patched Radahn. I think it was a stupid patch. But again, you had...
Because people complained.
Yeah, you had people complaining.
Straight up. They complained and said it was too hard. That's why they did it.
Yeah. But like, again, that was the point. It's supposed to be an unfair fight.
Yep.
But right, people can't process that some things are just extremely difficult. You have to work hard at them.
Right. And even though I agree with you, Dill, and the creator, like, his vision was correct, I think, hey, push the boundary. It's your game, right? I think at the end of the day, the company and probably the board was like, look, we want as many people playing this as possible, and we don't want them to be turned off to this impossible fight where 0.001% of people can beat it. Let's make it easier. And that's guaranteed what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the top thing on Steam when you type in like Miyazaki and Radahn. Miyazaki is a war criminal for Consort Radahn.
So those no. Are, those, you wrote no, that?
Those, yes. That's so war. Those were the kind of comments.
People. That's so it's funny.
A war criminal. You gotta be. People have issues.
I mean, you can argue that Radahn himself is a war criminal.
Yeah.
In the game.
Oh my god, dude. I mean, yeah, you could. But I mean, that's what it was. I mean, the thing is, it was an unfair boss. I mean, but that was obviously the point of it, and it just, you know,
when you were going against them, dude, like.
I remember watching
those streams the next day because you'd be up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was crazy.
Even though you had work at 7 a.m.
Oh,
and
my God.
I was just like, dude, time. Like, this is insane. Like, I don't even know if you have the clips from you beating him anymore. I don't even know if those are saved.
I don't think they are. Unless Dak
That's
saved them.
Man. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, maybe Dak saved him, but I not his fault. If they're gone, it's my fault. I'm not sure. That was like before Twitch changed their rules, which is very annoying. But yeah. I mean, it was supposed to be a broken fight. But yeah, Pete might screen record it. No promises, though. Okay. No promises. I think we have a few more supers here. Appreciate all you guys being here. Thank you so much.
We do. We have $5 from Jack TCG.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, appreciate it, my man.
Hello, friends. Been a minute. School has now been completed. Got my certificate in film directing, storytelling, and editing. Now have more nice. Free time.
That's congratulations. Congrats, Jack. That is awesome. Jack very Knight cool. has been someone who's been around for a very, very long time, certainly since those Vrains days. Jack Knight might remember Aura Dragon. I mean, that was, we're going back into the username archives, which is freaking awesome. But yeah, I absolutely love that. Jack, congratulations. Excited to hear more from you. Hopefully we hear some Marvel stuff. And yeah, hopefully I see you in the streams a little bit more, buddy. Appreciate you, man. Great stuff. I love hearing people in the communities like experiences in life and like accomplishments and stuff. It's very, very cool. Thank you, Jack.
Mm-hmm. We got $5 from Aura Dragon Echi Zombie.
Echi Zombie, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate your aura.
Got Yu-Gi-Oh! Fatigue near the end of Vrains, Human Eye versus Playmaker. But still a Arc 5 fan. Always still have my Clear Wing card beside me.
Well, here's the thing. There were a lot of people that I think when Yu-Gi-Oh! Vrains ended, you got to remember you had a six-month break, which is a pretty big break, especially in Yu-Gi-Oh! Standards for then, between Vrains and the next show. And halfway through that break, they revealed Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens. Totally new way to play, totally new animation studio. The show just looked much different. It just did, objectively. And there was a pretty mass exodus, I think, from people. Now, there's some people that watched through and enjoyed, you know, us guys and a good amount of people. And there are some people that maybe, like, Rush Yu-Gi-Oh! Was their first Yu-Gi-Oh! In a while. But for the most part, there was a lot of people that I think after Arc 5 and after Vrains ended, the switch that Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime made, I think that was kind of their exit point from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise. So I think there were a lot of people that had that fatigue aura, and I totally get it. I mean, I totally get it. It's a lot of stuff, and then, you know, if it goes in a direction that you're not really a fan of, why like keep watching and keep sticking around. So, I mean, I totally get it, especially when we live in a digital world where there are so many just like fandoms out there. There's so many fandoms. There's so many things that are going on that are more important, you know, than anime and in real life and stuff. And so I'm never going to blame anyone for that, you know, for prioritizing themselves. I mean, that's the most important thing at the end of the day. But Etchy, thank you so much for the super chat. It's just great to hear from you again. Seriously, it's great to hear from you.
We have $5 from Fwee Weep.
Thank you, Fwee Weep. Thank you, Fwee.
Fwee said, just for that, Dredge, I'd like you to tell a story of when you fought a tree. the answer is going to be no. I tell that story on After Darks and After Darks only.
What are you talking about? Story,
we're not. I'm not telling the story.
Can I give a
summary? After Dark story.
Can I give a summation?
Yeah, you can summarize. Yeah, you can summarize. That's fine. Yeah.
Dredger, I'm not telling you. It was in front of a Starbucks, and Dredger was walking. We were all walking in a group. We were in the town of Redstank, and we were all walking, and Dredger walked into a tree, like his shoulder hit the tree, and he felt like the tree moved slightly. And it may have. I mean, nobody saw the tree, so it may have moved slightly. And so he, you know, the tree hit his shoulder, and he was like, whoa, what the hell? And he started yelling at the tree. And I think you gave it a couple of smacks and some pretty good punches. Some bark was flying off. And yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, it got more intense because there was one swing where Dredger swung and hit the tree with his fist. And then like an acorn fell and hit him in the head. So the tree started kind of fighting back. And I don't have great memory on who won the fight. I can't say for certain that it was the tree. Yeah. That Dredger won the fight. The tree had a really strong base. That's what it was. Yeah. It Dredger couldn't get it off.
It definitely had a lot of core.
It had a lot of, right. Yeah. It planted roots in the ground and it just would not be moved from the spot. And,
I was rooting for it.
Yeah. I mean, I was rooting for Dredge, but you know,
It was an unstoppable force and an immovable object.
That exactly. Was like,
what's more comedic is you said you were going to summarize and you talked for 5 minutes. It was wild. Bro just kept going and going and going. Oh
well, all right, but that is definitely a good after dark story.
Yeah, it's a story of when I was what, 17, 18?
Right, so, and we were all crazy.
Literally, arguably 13, 14 years ago. So. I as funny as those stories are, I don't tell them as much now unless it is the After Dark, because that is not who I am anymore.
No.
But they are definitely very, very funny.
Have you ever revisited the tree?
I mean, when I was in Red Bank years after, yeah. But not in the – I haven't been in the Red Bank sober in like – I don't know how many years. Like the last time I went to Red Bank and actually would know where that tree was, it's been a long time. Been like – I don't know, 10 years, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
Caliber's nodding because he's been wasted in Red Bank recently.
Well, you think Red Bank, you don't think sober, you know? It's just...
Yeah, realistically, you're thinking of Jamian's. Were you at Red Rock that night? Were you at downtown back when it was downtown? Like, you know, you were vibing.
The Globe.
What about the Globe, man? You can't forget
the
about Globe.
The Globe flu, baby. That was the last time.
Cal, you were partying at Teak back in the day, weren't you?
What about, no, my home, the Dublin house.
I literally.
Your pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
I hate the Dublin house.
I got a signed photo on that wall.
I hate that place. Crazy. All right. We got $5 from X Slayer.
Thank you, X. Appreciate it, man.
X Slayer's a little unhappy with us right now. Just
X Slayer's unhappy with us. Okay.
Yes. Uh-oh. So I'm gonna try and grammar got him a little bit. I think the autocorrect got him. So I'm gonna try and
that damn autocorrect
the best way I can. So how long are we gonna keep kicking a dead horse when it comes to discussing the Chronicle? Mm. Get that it is not for everyone, but it does get annoying hearing it every time we stream.
That's fair. So probably not much beyond this. I was keeping track of the view count for episode one of the Chronicles because we had a bet. There was a pretty big stake on the line, a free ice cream, which is
a large gelato.
A large gelato, topics. Which means a lot to me. So that is why I was tracking the view count so closely for episode one. I have pulled back my coverage of the Chronicles. We are no longer doing monthly coverage. Right now, I am leaning towards not doing, honestly, anything on the Chronicles again on this channel. So at the end of March, I do not right now plan to cover the Charmers at all. I'm not doing any, you know, videos on it or anything. It's not for me. It just is what it is. So I think the only reason that you're really hearing it is about that bet that we've had. And that's really it. And the reason why I'm not covering it anymore on the channel is because it was really just beating a dead horse. We were saying the same things over and over. There's really not much more for me to say on the matter. You know, it's a Yu-Gi-Oh. It's not the type of Yu-Gi-Oh that I'm looking for. And so I'm just not watching it. And yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. But that was really the only reason we were bringing it up as often as we were, because of the bet that we had.
I would agree with that. I mean, the bet wasn't over until technically.
It's over 2 days. Yeah, Friday it's over.
Yeah, tomorrow, Friday, whenever it was. Yeah, so. But yeah, no,
it won't be talked about on this channel. I mean, if people ask me, you know, I'll give my opinion, but there's no reason for me to talk about it.
I just don't think there's a desire on this channel for a lot of people. They don't want to talk about the Chronicle, truthfully. It hasn't been a big talking point, so we have dialed back, but obviously I was under the impression it would bounce back once we got this first episode, and clearly I was incorrect with that, and we did have to finalize the details of our bet, and you could rub it in my face a little bit, which I deserve, because I was the other way so gung-ho that it would have done well. So
there were a lot of people that were dredged. Now, X-Layer agreed with me when the bet was made, but, you know.
Agreed. Yeah, it's true.
But that's fine. Listen. Yeah, X-Layer, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it.
Thank you, X-Layer. Yep. We have 5 Australian from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
So Konami Animation is animating another anime that isn't just The Chronicles. What are your thoughts on Konami Animation?
I'm not going to even comment on this because, as X-Layer said, you know, beating a dead horse, right? Like, it's kind of funny that this is, I have nothing to say. I don't think people, want to hear my thoughts on it. If people don't want to hear my thoughts on it, if they don't want to hear the same thing, I'm not going to keep commenting on it. So I have nothing to say.
I mean, I'll say this, good for the animation studio.
Great for the animation studio. I'm happy. I think it's a great thing for the animation studio that they're doing another, you know, non-Yu-Gi-Oh anime. And I think that's awesome. Yeah. Really cool.
That's fair.
I don't know.
$5 more.
I mean, well, Pete, did you have anything to say, or?
we'll leave it there.
All right, exactly. Leave it there. Yep.
We have $5 more from Jack TCG.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, my man.
Have y'all seen Wonder Man? It's good and MCU back, but Miss Marvel is my favorite MCU show still.
I will say,
I've not watched actually either, unfortunately.
I have not watched either. Jack. Well, no, actually, Ms. Marvel I watched. Yeah, Ms. Marvel I liked, and I also enjoyed the Marvels. I know a lot of people didn't, but I thought it was a fine movie. But Jack, thank you so much for the super chat. I will say this, my friend. I am very excited for the Spider-Man movie. I am very excited for the Secret Doctor Wars. Doom movie. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be good, but
I'm excited. Even if
I'm excited. Yeah, I think we got to all get together and go and have a group outing.
We got to go. We need to get those Cal's got to get the good stuff for that one, though. I'm going to need the good stuff for that.
No, yes. You know what we need to get? We need to get whatever popcorn bucket they come out with, because you know it's going to be a good one.
Hell yeah, it's going to be a good bucket.
I regret not getting the Deadpool Wolverine bucket. So.
Oh, my God. That one was rough.
I really wanted the Dune bucket, but they were all
The Dune bucket was a problem. The Dune bucket was a real problem, man. That was...
boy.
That bucket is going to cause problems. There's just...
What about the chicken jockey bucket for Minecraft?
No.
I think the only one here that maybe has seen Wonder Man, Pete, have you seen it? Do you know anything about the show?
Yeah, I know about the show. I actually plan on starting to watch it today, but then I caught up with work, so I didn't end up watching it. I'm excited for it. I think it's an interesting character to bring to screen. And kind of a different vibe with him kind of, you know, being a struggling actor and how he's kind of trying to navigate a world where he shouldn't use his powers, even though it's funny enough that the role he's going for is a superpowered person. So I think that's kind of funny. So I plan to check it out. Ms. Marvel, you know, I thought it was a solid show. I think it tails off. We covered it on Clueless Gamers, but... I think it kind of tails off towards the last two or three episodes of the show, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Marvels. I mean, Captain Marvel's one of my favorite characters, so it's not shocking that I also like Miss Marvel and Kamala Khan. So
those last two to three episodes, Pete, is that her traveling back to her
Yeah, it's when she went back in time. Yeah, what to see what happened with her grandmother.
Right.
And comes back to the big fight in the school. Spoilers. I mean, the show was 5 years ago.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have been done a little better.
Yeah. I remember enjoying it, but I remember also, like, WandaVision probably is still my favorite. I know that's a very generic.
I remember us getting together, me and you, Dill, at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, because Disney Plus used to drop the episodes at 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So we would get together and watch the episode as soon as it came out at your parents' house, just because obviously we were on very different work schedules then and than we are now. And yeah. Those were fun times, man. That was a great show.
They were. And then we did the COVID episodes where we both had COVID. And
COVID episodes. Yeah, that was COVID a pain in the ass to edit, dude.
Oh my brother. What it was is my brother had COVID, and so we were remote. I don't think I had it, but yeah, those were fun, man. The MCU I've been kind of out of touch with since, like, the immediate stuff following, like, Endgame. And you know, I think that's probably the case for a good amount of people that were really ingrained into it. But I am hopeful that the Doctor Doom movie is going to be good, and I am hopeful that the Spider-Man movie, I'm very excited for that, is going to be good. So,
Jill, did you see Thunderbolts?
No, I did not.
I thought that was a pretty good movie.
But I thought I saw recently on Disney Plus, I watched Fantastic Four. I thought that was really good too.
You know what?
Okay, yeah, so I got to watch Fantastic Four.
You know what? You know what? Me and my brother watched on Christmas Eve night.
Oh, I want to know.
Let
me guess. Amazing Black Spider-Man
Widow.
2.
No, no, not Black Widow. No, me and my brother watched this movie. It is a superhero movie within the
this
last.
Can't be good.
Wait. Can you? Yeah, give me some hints.
Yeah, I want to hints.
We've seen it in the theater together.
Oh, Pete. Multiverse of Madness.
No, I would never rewatch that movie.
That would have been a good guess. Wait,
me and you Dill have seen it?
That movie, yes, me and you saw it in theaters. That movie took my brother out of the MCU. He said that ruined.
Well, that's
the
why theater. I thought. Multiverse that's why I thought.
So and it was wait, within just the last Pete?
3 years?
It was within the last 3 years. It was me, Pete, Nick T, and Weir.
Oh my God. No, you didn't.
Oh, Madam Web.
You're a sick son of a you know what.
Dude, come
on. Wow. So what do you think? What Dean think?
Dean thought it was awful. He couldn't believe how bad it was.
It's terrible.
But again,
I ranted about it.
I've never watched it. I know it's terrible.
But like the thing with that movie versus like a Multiverse of Madness, that movie to me, as crazy as this will sound, has more rewatch value because it's hilarious. It's that bad.
Yeah.
I remember Pete's rant.
Craven wasn't great. Morbius was pretty bad.
I didn't see either of those. You saw Craven?
I didn't see Morbius. Craven was bad?
Yeah, it wasn't that great. I mean,
Morbius was like okay.
I did not like Morbius.
Well, Caliber, you loved Venom.
No.
You loved Venom versus Carnage.
No. I don't think anybody used the word love around Venom.
Oh, God, the Venom movies.
They're not the worst, but they're definitely not great.
Do you like how the fight scenes are, like, edited so they're so dark you can't tell what's happening?
Well, it's also, like, depreciating value, in my opinion, as those movies go on, of just, like, oh, my God, of just not being good.
Oh, no.
Well, Dill, I actually, I feel the pain of, like, them making scenes too dark so you can't really see what's going on because they did that in Game of Thrones with the winter, the war.
I tried
not
to battle. You, man.
When,
I not tried
the winter
stop,
battle.
When Game of Thrones, you see Jack Knight.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
I tried to stop him, man.
Jack, you know when a super chat leads us to Game of Thrones, something's gone
it's
wrong.
Not...
No.
Something didn't end well.
Something went wrong.
Game of Thrones is still one of the best series I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and the end was still that controversially bad to most people.
One of my favorite examples of that, and Cal, I think actually you and Dredge have both watched House of the Dragon. One of my favorites was they made this huge deal before the episode came out. They were like, look, we filmed this episode during the broad daylight, but in the context of the show, we need it to be night. So now we didn't have to do a night shoot. We did this brilliant thing with a bunch of filters and graphics that we were able to actually take all the sunlight out and actually make it look like it was night. Let me tell you how horrible it looked that you couldn't
that
even see who was talking or what was going on. It was a terrible idea that they were so proud of.
Actively remember pausing it and trying to increase the brightness of my TV because I'm like, there's just no way I can watch this.
Insane.
It was pretty bad. Wow. It was crazy. Yeah.
I mean, the main actor from Game of Thrones, when it ended, had to go to therapy because of how it ended. He was
Dylan, shut up.
No, that's a real thing. That's a. It was.
I'm not saying it's not, but you didn't watch the show. Shut up.
Okay. I think we have.
We got $2.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. We got $2 from John Bondi.
Thank you, John. Thank you, man.
Daredevil BA season 2 is what I look forward to the most.
Pete, you can talk to that.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen the new version, which is the same character of Daredevil with Born Again. I've not seen season one. I do need to watch that. The first three seasons that were originally on Netflix for me were some of the best superhero television you're ever going to get, or superhero product in general. So I'm looking forward to catching up and getting into season two.
Pete, is that where the Born Again comes from in Marvel Rivals?
I mean, yes, but the Born Again is referencing the comic run that came out. And yes, I'm sure they popularized the idea because people are watching the show and they haven't read the comic.
I got you. John, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate all the donations and super chat, guys. All right, listen, we have Arc 5 episodes 5 and 6 next week. Before we send things off here, 5 and 6 coming up. Did anybody watch the preview for episode 5?
No. I don't like watching previews.
Okay, well then that kind of changes what I was going to talk about real quick.
Oh,
but I mean, like, the episode ends obviously with Sora making that move.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't touch too much on like Sora.
I think I touched on it.
You did touch on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Just kind of, what are your thoughts on that character? He's got the blue hair. He's got the lollipop. We saw him in episode 3 when Yuya was like looking at the curriculum or whatever. You know, kind of, what are your thoughts on Sora here as we gear up for these next couple of episodes?
It's tough to address a character that says like 10 words at most,
right?
And we see for like a little bit. It's interesting that they're, you know, eating a lollipop makes them, you know, gives you that, oh, they're a child, they're young, they're a kid. Clearly they have some ability, power to flick a lollipop and knock out 4 people. So it definitely leaves a lot to be desired and intrigue into what this character's going to do. And also the character saying at the end how they want to go to be Yuya's almost like pupil, Yuya's student, to learn at Yuya's school instead of LDS. So I presume Sora's going to become part of the gang slash group. But I wonder when we'll see Sora duel. Who will they duel first? Things like that. So
cool. Yeah.
So it's hard with a small entrance, but I think they'll end up being this is how you introduce a new character, you know, each episode until you get your core group. So I presume Sora is going to end up being one of those, you know, group people, it seems like.
Yeah, especially he's taken such a liking to Yuya early on.
Yes. Oh, clearly. Mm-hmm. Even as soon as he said, I want to learn from you, your pupil, it clicks in my brain. All right, this character is going to be around. They're not going to be like a one-off kind of thing.
Yep. Cal, Pete, I mean, there really is not much more else to go on. I mean, do you have any kind of parting thoughts here on Sora?
I thought it was funny that that they were like, she was like, oh, they're only unconscious. Like, you know, I didn't yeah. kill him or anything.
Like,
I just knocked him
unconscious.
And then, like, he also said something along the lines of, like, you're, like, the most fun person I've seen since I got here. Which I also was like, it's such a, like, perfect, just, like, this is, like, a younger audience show, and it's still always about like having fun and like all this stuff. So I just like that.
Yeah. Pete, any thoughts?
I don't trust Sora.
Really?
I don't trust Sora. Love it.
So you're the complete opposite of Dredge.
Love that.
Wow.
I think Sora's on our team, bro. Sora's locked in.
No, do not trust Sora.
Why don't you trust him? All he did was knock out 4 kids with a lollipop.
Yeah, 4 people that didn't like you yet.
4 bullies.
They have a vibe of my intentions are bubbling below the surface.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't trust
them. I'm not making a gelato bet, though.
Anyone that inserts themselves, I'm always suspicious of.
Fair.
I think that's
sense.
That's fair. Dredge, make a gelato bet with me, even though I've seen the show and no
All right, wait, Dill. Hey, Dill, what's the bet, and then I'll decide if I want to take it. There you go.
Well, actually, no, because you might be right, so I'm not. But we'll see. All right, Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, that is episodes 3 and 4. Shingo, the Chad Sawatari here on Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis. We are going to be doing this every Wednesday night for the foreseeable future. Next week will be episodes 5 and 6, which will be very, very exciting. Nick T hopefully will be back. And yeah, we will rock and roll. Nick T is doing some stuff on his end. All of his socials are linked down below. I am going to let these boys promote themselves. Dredger, Cal, Pete, we'll go in that order. Dredge, we'll start with you. What's going on in your world, my friend?
She was scared. /Dredgenator. We started Bloodborne this past weekend, which is a lot of fun. I'm starting to learn the mechanics, which definitely helps. So we'll be back streaming that. I probably will be live Saturday morning. I'm not sure what I'll be playing. It might be Pokemon. It might be the Yu-Gi-Oh! Fire Red ROM. It could be a lot of different things, but we'll see. But hopefully look out for that on Saturday morning.
Love it, Dredge. And yeah, all the, their stuff is going to be linked in the description. Pete, what's going on with you, my man?
Technically, you said Cal was next.
I couldn't remember who I said. Cal, what's going on?
I got nothing. Go right to Pete. Right to Pete.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Follow Cal at Cal Breezy.
Exactly.
Twitch.tv/CalBreezy.
You know the channel. It's Coolest Gamers on YouTube. Woo! We do a First and 10 podcast, football podcast, my friend Brian. Brian has had some issues with the snow this week. So we're not able to get our work schedules aligned. So don't think we're ducking the championship games where, yes, of course, my Rams lost. It's the end of the season. I want to wait for Brian instead of doing a solo episode. So early next week, you should see a new episode on that, talking about the games, previewing the Super Bowl, and given some thoughts on some of these coaching hires and firings that are interesting. Let's say that. Follow me on Twitter, BeaverCoward21.
Brian, if you're into the NFL, you're not going to get a better podcast than First and 10 on the Clueless Gamers YouTube channel. Two very good friends of mine, Pete and Brian, BG. And Brian,
BG.
Brian worked, now works at the hotel that I used to work at in New Jersey. And I know for a fact he got stranded at that hotel. Not stranded accidentally. It was by design.
Yeah, he was there for like 3 days. Well, actually he was. His car was stuck in the parking lot.
Oh my gosh. Jeez. Yeah. So he was there for a few days.
That's tough.
But yeah, that podcast will be back soon. All I ask out of this podcast is that you follow the guys. Tomorrow we are going to be live with Master Duel versus Chat. I do not know if we are going to do the GX Season 1 finale stream tomorrow because I have to leave for New Jersey by like 3:34. So it all depends on how long the Master Duel stream will go. Nothing Friday, and then we'll see about Saturday, Sunday. Huge thank you to everybody that donated /super chatted. John Bondi, Jack, Kevin, X-Layer, Free Weep, Etchy Zombie, what a blast from the past, or Dragon, great to see you. Dark Emperor J, Jack Knight, Free Weep, one of my favorite usernames to say, Weep. Sean Gilbride, and Dark Emperor J, the random Dark Emperor J. Always love the random questions he gives us. Thank you all so much for watching. This has been episodes 3 and 4 of Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 Analysis. Shingo, the Chad, Sawatari. Thank you, Dredge, Pete, Cal. Thank you all for watching. And I hope you have an amazing day.
An amazing day.
Take care, guys.
Good night, y'all.